Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of New York Is This Way, the podcast about New York City, about getting around figuratively, literally, also moving through history and news and things like that, a little bit of everything. So the previous episode was called They Made It in New York, and I was talking about people who were born and raised elsewhere, but moved to New York City and became icons and legends and just had huge careers. So this episode, I'm going to focus on people who were born in New York, born and raised, but went on to have huge, huge careers and had huge influence on culture, society. And like the previous episode, this is just a small list. You could spend hours and hours of picking names and picking subjects. So these are just a few names that are sort of like on my mind, that sort of popped up in my head of people who born and raised in New York, and went on to just have huge careers and this huge impact and influence on the country, the city, the world, you name it. So first, we're going to go all the way back to 1794. And that was the birth year of a gentleman by the name of Cornelius Vanderbilt. And I'm sure you've heard the name Vanderbilt. That's a really big name in the history of New York City. Cornelius Vanderbilt, like I said, born in 1794. He's born in Staten Island, New York. Cornelius Vanderbilt will go on to build one of the great fortunes in American history. He was, you know, at one point one of the richest men in the world, if not the richest. There's a lot of people competing for that. People like John Jacob Astor and other names. But Cornelius Vanderbilt built one of the huge, powerful fortunes in America. So he won in 1794, Staten Island. His father had a business. He was of Dutch descent. And his father had a business, ferry business. And Cornelius' first job was working for his dad. And eventually he had his own business of ferrying people from Staten Island to Manhattan and back. Which, of course, ferrying from Staten Island to Manhattan is still a very popular thing. And from there, he would go on to, you know, build huge, have ships transporting goods. He would go on to own railroads. At one point, he owned so many railroads that he needed a place where he wanted all his railroad lines to connect. And needed sort of a grand central location. And this would lead to the building of the Grand Central Depot. Eventually, it would become Grand Central Terminal and Station, which is one of the great beauties of New York City. And of course, right near the entrance event of Grand Central on 14th Street is Vanderbilt Avenue. And Cornelius Vanderbilt's family, his descendants, they will go on to shape New York high society. And they will become sort of the litmus test of wealthy, powerful families. And the legacy of descendants range from, you know, Vanderbilt University to the Biltmore Estate in North Carolina, one of the largest, you know, private-owned estate in the country. And Cornelius Vanderbilt's great-great-granddaughter, Gloria Vanderbilt, would be at the center of one of the most famous and contentious child custody cases. And, of course, Gloria Vanderbilt would grow up to be probably one of the most famous socialites in the history of New York City, probably starting because of this trial over custody, and she would go on to marry several times. Gloria Vanderbilt, also in the 1980s, had her own line of jeans, which were really popular for a short period of time. And Gloria Vanderbilt, of course, is the mother of Anderson Cooper, the CNN television journalist. So Cornelius Vanderbilt, born in 1794, died in 1877, just about more than a decade after the Civil War, but a native-born New Yorker who really, really made it big. And of course, there were a lot of great fortunes built here in New York City during this time period. There's still a great fortune built in New York City, but very few people have had the impact that Mr. Cornelius Vanderbilt had. So we started off like all the way back in that time period. So let's go back to this goes to 1942. That was the year that a young woman by the name of Barbara Streisand was born. Now, of course, Barbara Streisand is a native-born Brooklynite. And she would go on to have a truly remarkable legendary career on the stage, on the screen, of course, in the music charts. Now, she was born in 1942, New York City, a graduate of Erasmus Hall High School. And you can almost do an episode just about this high school in Brooklyn, Erasmus Hall, because so many famous people would graduate from this school and go on to have huge careers. People like Neil Diamond, of course, Mae West. The enormous amount of people who were, went to this school and had these huge careers. But Barbara Streisand, like I said, a remarkable career of stage, big screen, of course, movies like everything from Hello Dolly to the Way We Were to, enormous things, huge hits. And I think she kind of created sort of the blueprint and the standard. And that could really, I think very few people have met this. I think a lot of artists have tried to follow in this of sort of having, big film career, big music career. Also, there's some people who have done it. I think, like, let's say Lady Gaga, right? Star is Born, she's had some other movies and performances, and of course she's had a big music career. And there's other people who've tried to, but no one has quite, I think, had the success that Barbara Streisand reached. And born, very humble beginnings, and just just absolutely crazy, ridiculous career. So we live in the age of heroes and villains, right? Especially when it comes to the movies, like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And of course, there would not be a Marvel Cinematic Universe without a gentleman by the name of Stan Lee. Stan Lee, born in Manhattan, would go on to, the influence that he had. He started with a publisher, Timely Comics. He was a writer. Eventually, he would take over that publisher, and they would become known as Marvel Comics. And, of course, the characters that he either created or co-created, ranging from, Spider-Man to the X-Men, their impact is, you can't even talk enough about the impact of the characters that Stan Lee created. And of course, Stan Lee became almost just as famous as these fictional characters that he created with so this many media appearances. If you grew up reading Marvel Comics, there will always be at the end, there'd be some sort of blurb by Stan Lee. So he was really became synonymous with the product. And of course, when these movies became so huge, almost every Marvel movie had an appearance or a cameo by Mr. Stan Lee. And his, humble beginnings born in Manhattan, also spent a significant time in the Bronx, so attended DeWitt Clinton High School. And a native-born New Yorker who went on to just have an enormous influence. And of course, if you think about Marvel Comics, New York City is such a character in Marvel Comics. And this is what made really Marvel stand out, because other comic books were set in fictional cities that were kind of like New York alike. Batman and Gotham City, and Superman Metropolis. But Marvel stories were set in New York City. So Spider-Man was from Queens. Captain America lived in Brooklyn. In the Lower East Side. The Avengers had a mansion in Manhattan. So that greatly shaped these characters. And obviously, Stan Lee's influence, being a native New Yorker, I think really sort of that's how you have that sort of influence on those stories and how they were told. So I mentioned Phil Stanley, like I said, born in Manhattan, spent part of his childhood in the Bronx. And, you know, you could do just a whole story about people from the Bronx who really made it big, but, and went on to do these enormous things, who people had humble backgrounds. But let's talk about a gentleman who was born in the Bronx and who was, you know, his parents were Jewish immigrants, but he would grow up to define American style aesthetics. I'm talking about Mr. Ralph Lauren. Ralph Lauren, for decades now, Ralph Lauren and his clothing line has really been the symbol of American, what could I say? I'm trying to find the right words to use. When you talk about style and luxury, and you talk about sort of having being part of the establishment or making it to the establishment, you think of Ralph Lauren clothes. You think of polo. You think of, you know, look at the Olympics, which for years Ralph Lauren has designed the uniforms that they wear for the ceremonies. And I think almost every sort of designer wishes to have that success, especially every American one's eye, to sort of represent sort of the American upper class. And of course, even if you're not part of the American upper class, if you have enough money, you can buy a Ralph Lauren shirt and feel like you're in the American upper class. But it was just a humble kid, and he went on to do, you know, this amazing thing. He's not the only, like, big-time designer. Calvin Klein is another one, born and raised in New York, who would go on to really have this huge influence on how people dressed. And this Calvin Klein, of course, a very different aesthetic, which was more about sex appeal and more about cool and hipness. And the thing about Ralph Lauren that, I don't think there's ever been a moment where it was people like, Ralph Lauren, polo. It's like, it's always in style. Even if it's not the hottest thing, even if it's not, it's still always in style. It's never like, what is that? At least in my opinion. If there's some fashionistas who want to have a different opinion, feel free to email me. And, you know, we can discuss that. So we've gone from Cornelius Vanderbilt, Barbara Streisand, Stan Lee, Ralph Lauren. The next person I'm going to talk about is another guy with very humble beginnings. And he has gone on to become one of the most successful, influential hip-hop artists of all time. I'm talking about Mr. Sean Carter, but you may know him as Jay-Z. Born in 1969, raised in the Marcy Projects in Brooklyn. Jay-Z began a rock career, it was really late 80s, early 90s, but it wasn't until around 1996, the release of his debut album, Reasonable Doubt, where Jay-Z established himself as a star in the hip-hop world. And it was only the beginning, because with each album became more and more success. Rockefeller Records, which he co-owned with his two partners, would be one of the hottest hip-hop labels and music labels in the industry during this time. And, of course, Jay-Z, probably one of his biggest hits, The Hard Knock Life, which everywhere you went, you heard that song. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song. And that just took him to a whole other level. And, you know, with his success with music, he ventured into other businesses. Like many artists, especially many hip-hop artists, do. And he had a clothing company in Rockaware. He opened up the 4040 Club in Manhattan, which was, you know, very sort of a luxury sports bar. And he would go on to become the first hip-hop billionaire, with interest in everything from alcohol to his management company, Roc Nation. Now, his first big step in the business was when they sold Rockefeller Records, and Jay-Z became the CEO of Def Jam Recordings, which is probably the most important label in the history of hip hop. And he spent some time there. His biggest signing when he was president and CEO of Def Jam was to sign Rihanna, who of course went on to have a huge recording career and then now is a very established entrepreneur and mogul. But it was I believe his first signee was Rihanna when he was Def Jam. But he was going to leave Def Jam to continue running Roc Nation. He's he has a business partnership with the NFL. But he was a guy that growing up in the projects who sold drugs. And I mean, listen to his music, and you know that Jay-Z sold drugs. And he really became, a lot of artists have tried to follow that trajectory of, you know, Jay-Z said it famously himself, "I'm not a businessman, I'm a business man." And you kind of can see, we started off talking about Cornelius Vanderbilt, and we're ending up talking about Jay-Z. And here are guys who, you know, very different eras, very different people, but continue to accumulate influence and power. And with Jay-Z, his power is culturally. And of course, he's married to Beyonce, which is even another aspect to his influence. But he's a native of New York. And like I said, there's so many people that you could, there are dozens of people you could do an episode about, you know, native born New Yorkers who grew up to have huge, huge careers. And I think maybe the next episode I've done, since the first one we did, They Made It in New York, this one, I'm going to call this Made It in New York. So I think the third one we do, the next one, we're probably going to focus on people who are maybe from like the surrounding areas. I did in the previous one, I mentioned Frank Sinatra from Hoboken. That was like the closest one. But maybe we'll pick some people who were not born in New York City, but born maybe in the surrounding areas, born in the, you know, Long Island, Westchester, but, you know, made a short trip to the city to establish themselves. But let's run down some of the names that we did in this episode. Cornelius Vanderbilt, known as the Commodore, established a huge shipping and railroad work. We talk about Barbara Streisand, iconic music and film career, really unparalleled in the success that she had. We talk about Stan Lee, whose Marvel comics and had shaped culture in a way that is almost unmatched. Talk about Ralph Lauren, who, a humble beginning, is the kid of Jewish immigrants, born and raised in the Bronx, who goes on to become the status symbol of American luxury and establishment. And then we have Jay-Z, raised in Marcy Projects in Brooklyn, spent years on the streets hustling, and, you know, regarded as one of the greatest rappers of all time. I think he's the wittiest lyricist ever. He has so much wit in his rhymes that I think you gotta listen a couple more times just to get it. So you got, and he goes on to this amazing rap career, becomes hip hop's first billionaire, interests in everything from liquor to maybe even casinos now here in New York City. So these are some of the people who were born here and really, really made it here. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email me. That's podcast@manglenn.com. That's man with two N's, Glenn with two N's. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. Thank you for listening. Take care of yourself.